Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the beginning of the second perek, the new perek, the Mishnah, Hakoimetz Es Hamincha. Before we continue into the actual reading, let's take a look at our topic heading, a brief one. We've entitled the sukkah, Machshavos Pigul B'Sha'as Kmitza. Different pigul thoughts that one may have while he is taking the handful of a meal offering. Pigul is the intention of the expressed intention while one is doing one of the essential parts of the sacrificial activity, one of the four stages. In this case, we'll talk about the offering of the korban mincha, the meal offering. If while doing one of those essential stages, he has in mind to eat the remainder that is to be eaten by the kohanim, but has in mind that the shirayim will be eaten the next day, which is beyond the accepted time frame for the consumption of the shirayim, or he has in mind that when he's taking the handful, that the handful will be offered on the altar the next day. The mere mindset that he has will ruin the korban and create pigul, and if one eats from it, they will be chayev koreis. So let us see a few examples of this. Hakoimetz samincha leechol shioreha oy lahaktir koimtso lemochor. If one, while taking the handful of the meal offering, the handful which is destined to be offered on the altar, and while he's taking the handful from the bowl containing the meal offering, he has in mind that the shirayim, the remainder, will be eaten the next day, or that the handful that he's taking will be offered on the fire the next day. Moide Rabbi Yosi Boze Shehu Pigul V'chayovin Olav Kores. Rabbi Yosi will concede in this case that the result is Pigul and there is a Kores penalty. There is another case where we've actually called this number three. He takes the kaimetz of the mincha, lahaktir levoinosa lemochar, with the intention of offering the accompanying levona spice. The levona is a spice that is brought together with a standard meal offering, so that when one is taking the handful of the meal offering, he has in mind to offer the levona the next day. The levona is supposed to be offered right then and there, the same time that the handful is offered, so the Lavona is offered. But he has intention, this wrong time-based intention, to have the Lavona offered the next day. In this case, we'll see a Machloikis Tanoyim. Rabbi Yosiyim Reposel V'Ein Bo Kores. The result is that the Mincha is ruined. However, if one were to eat from the Shirayim, he would not be guilty of Kores. The Chachomim omrim pigul v'chayovin olav kores. The Chachomim make no distinction between thoughts concerning the Lavona and thoughts concerning the rest of the Mincha. Just like thoughts concerning the rest of the Mincha we saw in the Reisha result in pigul, so too thoughts concerning the Lavona result in the Mincha becoming pigul. We have a little bit of a back and forth in the Mishnah itself, and we've squiggle underlined the expressions to indicate when the change of speaker takes place. Omru lo, the Chachamim addressed Rabbi Yosi and said, Ma shino ze min hazevach? What's different about the Lavona from the sacrifice? the Rashi explains the case of someone, let us say, sacrifices, he slaughters a sacrifice with the intention of offering the innards the next day. That would create pigel. So why are you, Rabbi Yossi, treating the lavona as some kind of extraneous substance? Omar Lahen. So Rabbi Yossi answers, Shehazevach domoy ubesoroy ve'emurav echad. In the case of an animal sacrifice, the blood, the meat, and the innards are all one unit. They all come from the animal. Ulavona eino min hamincha. The lavona, on the other hand, is not a part of the mincha in the same way that the blood is part of an animal. The Gemara will be focusing initially on the expression that we saw at the beginning of the Mishnah, where it said, Moide Rabbi Yossi Bozeh, that Rabbi Yossi concedes. The question is, why was it necessary for this to be included in the Mishnah? Loma li lemisna, why was it needed to be taught, Moide Rabbi Yossi Bezu, that Rabbi Yossi concedes in cases 1 and 2 of the Mishnah? Answer, Mishum dekaboi lemisna seifa, because, or in anticipation of case 3 of the Mishnah, which said, Lahaktir levoinosu lemochor, where the kometz was taken with the intention of offering the levona the next day, Rabbi Yossi oimer posel v'embo kores, and in that case Rabbi Yossi said that the mincha is posel, is ruined, but there is no kores. Mahu de tema, taima de Rabbi Yossi, mishum de kosovar ein mefaglin bechatsi matir. Had I not had the opening or the expression of Moide Rabbi Yossi Bozeh, I might have thought that Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that pigel is not accomplished if one has the incorrect mindset during one of the two matirim. What is meant by the matir? So, in the case of a korban mincha, you have the handful that's put on the fire, and the lavona that's put on the fire. So had I not had the resha of the Mishnah, where it said Rabbi Yossi concedes to that which is taught in the resha of the Mishnah, I would have thought, if I was, let us say, just saw the example, if I had no reference to what Rabbi Yossi's position is in the Reisha, and I had only Rabbi Yossi's stated opinion with regard to the Lavona, I would have come out with this incorrect conclusion. I would have thought that he is of the opinion, Ein mefaglin b'chatzi matir, v'afilu reishonami. We explained that the term matir is that, specifically in the case of a mincha, it involves the kometz and the lavona. Namely, by the offering of these elements, one can then eat the shirayim. The idea being their matir, the word matir means allow. They allow the eventual eating of the remainder. So, what might have I thought had I not seen had the Mishnah taught me Moide Rabbi Yossi in the first two cases? I would have thought that, Joel, just like in the case of the Lavona example, where the kometz was taken with the intention of offering the Lavona the next day, the Lavona in and of itself is a chatzi matir. And Rabbi Yossi said that it does not result in pigel when you have a case like that. So I might have thought that the basis of Rabbi Yossi is ein mefaglin mechatzi matir. And if that be the case, in the resha as well, he would hold by his position and say only pusel. What's the case of the resha? Well, where one takes the kometz with the anticipation of having the kometz burnt the next day. Well, the kometz, the handful of meal offering, is also a chatzi matir. There's the lavona as well. So just like in the case of the seifon, case 3, Rabbi Yossi said the intention of offering the chatzi matir the next day does not result in pigel. So too in the resha case, I might have thought that Rabbi Yossi would say that there would be no pigul either. Namely, in the case of someone who took the handful of the milk with the intention of offering the kometz the next day. As we said already a couple of times, the kometz itself is a chatzi matir. Kamash malon, therefore it was necessary for the Mishnah to teach the Baha Moide, that in the Reisha case, Rav Yossi concedes that there is pigul. Namely, if one takes the handful of the meal offering with the intention of offering the kometz the next day, even though the kometz is a chatzi matir, that doesn't matter. That doesn't bother or prevent Rav Yossi from saying that in that case there would be pigul. If we glance in the Shita Mekubetzes Ois Aleph, he elaborates on this, and we'll read it together. Komash Molon de Baha Moide Rav Yossi, that in the case of the Reisha, Rav Yossi concedes that there is pigul. The Taimei Lav Mishum de Ein Mefaglin Bechatzi Matir, and the basis of Rav Yossi's reason is not because there is no pigul when you're dealing with a thought concerning half of the matir, Elamishum, but rather the basis of Rav Yossi is that which the Gemara will tell us a little bit later, the Ein Matir Mefagil Matir, that the thought concerning one matir has, or while processing one matir, cannot have an effect on the other matir. And that's as we illustrated in case 3, where one takes the handful of kometz, the kometz being one matir, and thinks during that stage concerning the other matir, the lavona. Avol, kometz al menas lahakter kometz lemochar. If while one is taking the handful with the intention of offering that very same handful the next day, ein ze matir acher, that's not a function of thinking during one matir concerning another matir, ela b'matir atzmo, shu oved mechashev la'avsoi. Mashma l'fia maskona d'hocha d'sfrile shapli Rabbi Yossi d'mefaglin b'chatzi matir. That in that case, where he's working on the handful itself, and his thought concerns that very item, the handful of meal offering itself, that's not an issue of matir mefagilis a matir, but rather that is the matir, that's the thought concerns the matir itself and not across the board, not thinking across the lines to the other matir. Hence, that does result in pigul, very simply because Rabbi Yossi acknowledges that there is pigul mefaglin b'chatzi matir, that could in fact be accomplished. Turning back to the Gemara, we have a topic heading in the outside margin, no say, Hezber l'shitas Rabbi Yossi, an explanation of Rabbi Yossi's shita, his opinion, da ha-kometz es ha-mincha la-haktir le-voynosu le-mochor, is only, is rak posel, the ein bo kores, it's only posel, and not pigul, and hence there is no kores penalty. The Gemara, the top line, la-haktir le-voynosu, and the preface to that is that one took the kometz of mincha, took the handful of meal offering, with the intention of lahaktir levonosu lemochar, of offering the levona spice the next day. Rabbi Yossi Omer, posel the ein bo kores. Omar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is coming here to give an explanation to Shitas Rabbi Yossi. Omer hoyo Rabbi Yossi, ein matir mefagel es hamatir. While working on one matir, the pigul thought that he has concerning the other matir does not take effect. And, as we mentioned before, maybe even a few times, while he's taking the handful of meal offering, the kometz is one matir. His thoughts concerning the Lavona, which is the other matir, does not become pigul. You notice we have a bracketed section. The length of this bracket is indicated by the bracket length indicator. You'll notice to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a vertical dash dotted line. if we skip it momentarily, we see the response or the explanation of the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Yossi. So let's read that right now, and we'll get back to this later as well. But to get the flavor of the two Tanaic opinions and their explanations, we will benefit by skipping the bracketed section initially. So you see, V'rabbonon, the Rabbonon, what do they say about this issue? About the matir, ein matir mefagelas hamatir. They say, ki amrinon ein matir mefagelas hamatir. When would we accept that idea? And you can have a situation of ein matir mefagelas hamatir. For example, if someone were to, let us say, slaughter one of the two sheep that are brought on Shavuos to eat the other one. He slaughters one with the intention of eating the other one the next day. Hani mili, when do we say ein matir mefagelas hamatir? Hecha delo ikbu b'chad mono. That's where they were not brought, established in one vessel. That's the example we just cited with the Kivsei Atzeres, where the Kivsei Atzeres are two sheep that are brought on Shavuos, and the slaughtering of the sheep is designed to allow the eating of the Shtei HaLechem, two loaves that are brought on Shavuos as well. So if one, let us say, slaughtered one of the sheep with the intention of eating the other one the next day, in such a case, we would say, ein matir mefagil es hamatir, being that each sheep is a matir. So this rule will set in. However, aval hecho de ikbu b'chad mono, where the two matirs were established and brought in the, in one vessel, for example, lavona with the mincha, kechad domi, they're viewed as one entity. And therefore, it's not a function of one matir being having an effect on the other matir, but rather it's considered the matir in and of itself. And in as a result of that, if one takes the handful of komets, just like if he has the intention of offering the komets the next day, where everyone agrees that would result in pigul, the Rabbanan say the case of where he has in mind to offer the lavona the next day would also be pigul, no less. Let's go back to the beginning of the bracketed section. Reish Lakish just told us that Rabbi Yossi's opinion is based on the idea of ein matir mefagel es hamatir. Continuing now in the bracketed section, v'chein ata oimer b'shnei bozichei levoino shelechem aponim. She'ein matir mefagel es hamatir. The lechem aponim were two sets of six breads, two stacks, if you will, a total of 12 loaves that sat on the shulchan in the heichal from week to week. In addition to the two stacks that sat on the table, there were also two bozichin, that's the name of the receptacle that held the levona, two bozichei levona that sat on the shulchan as well from Shabbos to Shabbos. The bozichei levona were put on the offered on the fire of the mizbeach, and through their burning, the lechem aponim could then be eaten by the kohanim. So the bozichei levona are in effect matirs. So let us say one were to take one bozich of levona and offer it with the intention of offering the other one the next day. So Rabbi Yossi will tell you that in such a case, ein matir mefagel es hamatir. My v'chein ata omer. What's the point of telling me, and thusly we would say with the two bozichin? It's obvious, Rashi explains, that wherever you have two matirin, Rabbi Yossi will hold his opinion that ein matir mefagel es hamatir, and it does not result in pigul, so that the lechem aponim, they might be pusel, but they're not going to be pigul. And the difference is, if one eats them, there won't be a kores penalty. So why was it necessary to say v'chein ata omer? The Gemara explains, mahu detema taima de Rabbi Yosi belavona mishum delav mino de mincha hi. One might have thought, had I just had the case of the komets, the taking of the komets, the handful of meal offering, while having an intention concerning the spice, the lavona, maybe there pigel does not set in, because lavona is not the same material, or the same variety of substance that the mincha is. The mincha is a grain, and the lavona is a spice. Avol b'shnei bozichei lavona demina dehadodi ninhu. The two receptacles holding the lavona, and I offer one, I put one on the mizbech with the intention of offering the other one the next day. You're dealing with two receptacles containing the same substance. Emo mefagli ahadodi. I would have thought that Rabbi Yossi would concede in that case, in the case of the shnei bozichei lavona, that the pigel intention will take hold. Therefore, komash malon, it was important to teach the case of the shnei bozichei lavona and say v'chein ata omer, etc., that also by the bozichin it would result in something being posel and no kores, because of the rule of ein matir mefagel es hamatir. And when you're looking at each bozich of lavona by the lechem upon him, the one bozich is a matir, and you're having a thought concerning the other bozich, which is the other matir, and therefore it does not take hold because of this rule that Rish Lakish explains above, ein matir mefagel es hamatir. We have a new bracket, and we like to call this an internal bracket, because we're currently involved in a bracketed section to begin with. This is an internal brackets. We have a note explaining what their role is, but before we take note of the note, we should note the length of this section, and that's indicated also to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll see a dotted line, a vertical dotted line, that shows you the length of this section. In fact, the bracket, these angular brackets close at the end of the curlicue brackets as well. Let's now take a look at the note we have that accompanies these angular brackets. You'll notice at the star in the inside margin, matras asograyim, the purpose of these brackets, letachem, to set the boundaries, letachem kushya v'tirutz al haneimar b'fneim, to set the boundaries of a question and answer regarding that which was stated right before these angular brackets. Matarosenu, our purpose here is laharois the tshuvas haGemara binyan bozichei lavona, the answer that the Gemara gave regarding the bozichei lavona shemuva lifnei hasograyim nisheres, that it remains. The answer that we gave just now concerning why it was necessary to teach the case of the shnei bozichei lavona, the answer that we gave sticks. Besoichom, within these angular brackets, yesh nisayon, there's an attempt, lahakshos, to ask on that which we said, avol hagemora metaretzes, but the Gemara nevertheless answers. So let's now continue in the Gemara. Umi motzis amris, taimo de rabiosi bilavoina, could someone possibly say that the explanation of Rabbi Yossi regarding the lavona, that one took the komets in order to offer the lavona the next day, and it's only posel, can anyone say that the reason for Rabbi Yossi is lav mishum de lav mino de minchahi, that the reason for his leniency is because the lavona is not the same substance as the mincha, the meal offering? In other words, because we're dealing with double negatives, what the Gemara is trying to say is that the reason for Rabbi Yossi has to be the fact that the Lavona is not the same material as the meal offering itself. And why does that have to be his reason? V'ha'katani Seifa. Well, it says in the Seifa of our Mishnah, Amrulo, the Rabbanon addressed Rabbi Yossi and said, "My mashno zu min hazevach." What's the difference between the case of the lavona of the meal offering and the innards of an animal offering? Amar lahen, Rabbi Yossi said back, "Hazevach damo b'sar ve'murav echad." When it comes to the animal offering, when you are, let us say, sprinkling the blood with an intention concerning the emurim, that becomes pigul because they're all one in the same. It's all animal. Ulavona eino min hamincha. And notice we've dashed underlined this. This is the key point. This is the case of the animal offering is different than the case of the lavona because lavona is not the same substance as the meal offering. And because it's a different substance, power of Pigel to take hold is reduced. So what do we see the reason behind Rabbi Yossi's Shita of the Kometz and Lavona is? We see the reason for his leniency is because the Lavona is not the same substance as the Mincha. Well, just before this section that's in the brackets, the Gemara tried to say that that's in fact not the reason for Rabbi Yossi's leniency, but rather it's because of Ein Matir Mefagelus HaMatir. But we see from the Mishnah itself that the fact that the Lavona is not the same substance as the Mincha, that in fact is his reason for his leniency. This, by the way, would create a problem with regard to trying to understand the case of the Bozichei Lavona. But that's not our problem right now. The Gemara answers, and this is we have a long answer marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. The Gemara explains that this last phrase that we have dashed underlined in the Mishnah is not what we thought it meant. It's not coming to tell me that Rabbi Yossi's leniency is because the Lavona is a different substance. My eino min hamincha. What is meant by the expression that the Lavona is eino min hamincha? Eino be'ikuv mincha. It doesn't have a binding characteristic with regard to the mincha. This phrase is very unclear at this point. It will become clear as we go along in the Gemara. The Gemara explains, the lav, and you'll notice that one has to be careful with the reading at this point. We have a single quotation marks, which is what we call the phrase marking. And that's designed to show that whatever is within the singular quotation mark should really be read as one phrase, as one sentence, without pausing in the middle. So we will try to do that, and then hopefully offer a reasonable explanation. The expression, once again, of eino min amincha means eino be'ikuv mincha. The lav ki heichi dema'akiv lu koimetz l'shirayim. The case of Lavona is not like the case or the relationship of the Kometz to the Shirayim. De kamo de lav miskater Kometz lo misakli Shirayim. That as long as the Kometz, the handful of meal offering, was not put on the fire, one cannot eat the remainder of the Mincha. Hochenami me'akev lo la Lavona. And this is all part of what one should not think, that the Kometz is also, Me'akev is binding with regard to the offering of the Lavona. Let's go over this point again. One should not think that just like the Kometz is binding with regard to the eating of the Shirayim, the Kometz is also binding with regard to the ability to offer the Lavona on the fire. Rather, Elo, E boy, high miktar beresha. The E boy, high miktar beresha. whichever one of these two elements you want to offer on the fire, first you can put the kometz on the fire of the mizbeach first, or you can put lavona on the fire first. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Eino be'ikov mincha, klomar li'olam taimo. The real reason for Rabbi Yossi's leniency with regard to the Lavona case 3 of the Mishnah, is because of Mishum de'ein matir mefagel es hamatir, because of the rule that we saw above with regard to Reish Lakish, that the thoughts concerning one matir cannot have a pigul hashpo on the korban when the pigul thought concerns the other matir. V'hochi ko'omar lehu. Then, thusly, Rabbi Yossi said to the Rabbonan, Hazevach kuloi echod v'hadam hu hamatir eso emurim lahaktir. The zevach, the animal offering that you asked on me from that case, I want you to know, says Rabbi Yossi, that the animal is one entity. And the blood, the sprinkling of the blood, is matir the emurim lahaktir. That you, in order to be allowed to put the innards of the animal sacrifice on the altar, one has to have offered the blood. Hilkoch ki chishev al hoimurim lahakti chutz lizmanoi b'shas avodas hadam mefageil. Therefore, if one had a pigul mindset concerning the emurim at the time that he was sprinkling or processing the blood, pigul sets in. The lav shnei matirin inhu. They are not two matirin. They're not two separate matirin. Avol levona eino beikuv mincha. The levona, though, is not beikuv mincha klomar. What does that mean? Eino bechlal ikuv hashirayim. It's not part of the binding of the remainder. The ein hakoimetz ma'akev halavona mi lahaktir, the kometz, the handful of meal offering, is not a binding force preventing the burning of the lavona. Ki hechi de ma'akev lashirayim, it's not binding in the same way, or let us say there is a difference between the kometz and the lavona, as opposed to the case of the kometz and the eating of the shirayim. Hilkoch havio lavona matir bifnei atzmo. Therefore, the lavona is viewed as a separate matir. And as a result of that classification, Reish Lakish's rule sets in, ein matir mefagel es hamatir. Turning back to the Gemara, the Rabbonon that is referred to here, notice we've squiggle underlined the Rabbonon. We're doing this like we did a squiggle underline to Rabbi Yossi 3 lines from the top. At that point, Reish Lakish gave the Hesber for Rabbi Yossi, why when you do the taking of the handful of meal offering and have a mindset concerning the Lavona, Pigul does not set in. Verabonon, they who hold that in that case Pigul does set in. Ki amrinon ein matir mefagilis amatir. When do we acknowledge that thoughts concerning one matir while doing the other matir does not create Pigul? Hani mili. Skipping, of course, the parentheses section, Hani mili hecha dolo ikbu b'chad mona. That's where the two matirs were not put together in the same vessel. Aval hecha di ikbu b'chad mona. But in the case that the two matirs were established in the same vessel, like the case of the lavona with the mincha, kechad domi, they're considered one element, one in this one single unit, and therefore it's not a case of thinking of one matir concerning a second extraneous matir, but rather it's a thought concerning the item itself, and hence thoughts during the Kemitza concerning the Lavona are no less than Pigal thoughts while taking the Kemitza concerning the burning of the Kemitza, where in that case everyone agrees Pigal would be achieved. As you can see, we have a slash mark in the Mora indicating that that which follows is a new idea. In the outside margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, Likut Lavona Bazar. After the kemitza is taken, the lavona, the spice, which is a granular substance that was scattered or placed upon the meal offering, it is now collected. That's called liquid lavona. It's gathered. The lavona grains are gathered. But who does it in this case, in the sugya of the Gemara here? A non-kohen. Let's read that again. Likut Lavona Bazar. Haim Nechshav Avoida Upsula Bazar Oiloi. Is Likut Lavona considered an essential activity with regard to the Mincha process? And if it's considered an essential activity, which we call by the term Avoda, we know that an Avoda done by a non-Kohen, by a Zar, ruins the Korban. It may be pointed out that when looking at the offering of a sacrifice and trying to determine what its main activities are, these are, of course, activities that during which, if one has a machsheves pigol, the pigol can set in, it can take hold. In the case of an animal offering, there are four stages: shochet, molich, well, let's say shochet, the slaughtering of the animal; kabolas hadam, the receipt of the blood; molich, the carrying of the blood to the altar; and zorek, zrikas hadam, the sprinkling of the blood on the altar. During any of those activities, if one has a machsheves pigol, it will take hold. What about with regard to a meal offering? What are the essential activities there? So we will pick this point up as we go on in the Gemara. Omer of Yanai, Likut Lavona Bazar Posel. The gathering of the Lavona grains from the Mincha offering, in anticipation, of course, of the Lavona being offered on the Mizbeach. So the gathering together of this granular substance, if done by a non-kohen, posel. My taima. Why is that? Omer Rabbi Yirmiya, mishum hoilocha nogu ba. Because it is the gathering, the liquid lavona, the gathering of the granular lavona, is paralleled to hoilocha, the carrying of it to the mizbeach. And holocha is something that must be done by a kohen, not by a zar. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Mishum holocha naguba. Rashi across from here says shezar shelikta, the zar, the non-kohen who gathered the lavona, v'nosna the kohen, and handed it to the kohen, mi'et behiluch hakohen. He reduced the amount that the kohen would otherwise have to walk. V'holocha, and the action of holochas, achas min avodos, is one of the essential activities, the gamrinun mizvochim, that we learn from zvochim, from animal sacrifices, dichtiv behu holocha. Concerning animal sacrifices, the posuk talks about holocha, dichtiv v'hikrivu b'nei Aaron. The posuk says, v'hikrivu b'nei Aaron. V'afagav de Omar Mar Zukavolos Adam, even though V'ikrivu ben Aaron is a reference to the receipt of the blood, afilochi loshen alochahu kanamrinan besof kol chayv b'riya. Nevertheless, the pasuk in describing Kabbalas Adam uses an expression V'ikrivu, which means to draw it near, bring it close, karov, and that is done through halacha. As a result of that, we see that halacha is considered an essential process in the offering of a sacrifice. So Rav Yirmiya says that as far as Likut Levona Al Yedei Zar is concerned, it's classified as Holocha. And another point that has to be factored in, and Kasavar Holocha Shelo Beregel Shmo Holocha V'Holocha Bazar Psula, that Holocha accomplished through, with even without actual walking, even though Loleches means to walk with one's feet. In this case, Holocha Shelo Beregel, Holocha essentially is an act designed to bring the substance closer to the altar. If the Tzar, in this case, hands it to the Kohen, that motion of hand movement from the bowl that contains the Levona, and then handing the Levona to the Kohen, that hand action, handoff, if you will, saves from some of the steps that would have had, some of the walking steps, feet steps that one would have had to take that the Kohen would have otherwise had to take. So this is an example of Holocha Shelo Beregel. It's the hand movement is walking without the use of feet. And that's Shmo Holocha, and that is classified as Holocha. And that being the case, the Holocha Bazar Psula, and we know that Holocha by a non-Kohen ruins the Korban. So after all said and done, Likut Levona Bazar will ruin the Korban based on this principle that Holocha Shelo Beregel Shmo Holocha. Omar Rav Mori, Af Ananami Tanina. Rav Mori says we have a Tanaic source also that will indicate that Likut Levoino is considered an Avoido. It's considered an essential step in the offering of a Korban. The source, and before we go further, we want to point out that we're about to begin a long point. This is indicated by the Nun that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Nun is an akuda, a point, with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines are here to develop the following point. So Rav Mori says, we have a Tanaic source that says, Zeh haklal, kol hakoimetz, v'noisein b'kli, v'hamoylich, v'hamaktir. We saw this in a Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis, that if anyone, while doing any of these activities, has in mind to eat the shirayim the next day, that would result in pigul. We alluded to this, to the following point earlier, and that is that in the case of an animal offering, so we know what the four essential steps for steps, if you will, during which the pigul mindset can take effect. To review, in the case of the animal sacrifice, it could take effect during Shechita, Kabbalah, Holocha, and Haktorah, or Zrika, more accurately, Zrikas Adam. So that you have during the slaughtering, the receipt of the blood, the carrying of the blood, and the sprinkling of the blood. That's what we know with regard to an animal sacrifice. What we have to find out is the parallel between the meal offering to the animal sacrifice and thereby establish what stages of the offering of the mincha, the meal offering, would also be the basis of a machsheves pigul taking hold. Bishlamo, the Gemara now does this for us. Bishlamo koimetz hainu shochet. The number one that you see in parentheses corresponds to the one that we saw in the source just before. The kemitza, the process, the taking of the handful of the meal offering, that can be parallel to the slaughtering of the animal sacrifice. We have a little three here. This corresponds to the three just above in the source, moilich, nami, hainu, molich. The idea of the process of carrying that you find by the mincha, you find also by the animal sacrifice. There it involves carrying the blood. Here it involves carrying the handful to the altar. Maktir, hainu zorek. The process of maktir, putting the kometz into the fire, let's call that the offering to the altar. That's parallel to Zorek, to the sprinkling of the blood, which is also an offering to the altar of the blood. Elo noisein bekli, mai ka'ovid. In the case of a standard mincha, where he takes the handful of meal offering and places it into a second service vessel, and the Mishnah says that when one does matan kli, if he has a machsheves pigul, it takes hold. So noisein bekli mai ka'ovid. What is he doing? Where is there any parallel between noisein bekli and the case of the zevach? If you were to say that putting of the handful of the grain offering in the vessel is like the receipt of the blood in a vessel, me dummy, but how can you compare? Hossam, in the case of Kabbalah Memela, it goes into the vessel through gravity. There's no actually, one is not placing the blood into it. The blood flows into the receiving vessel. Hocha, in the case of Matan Kli B'Koimetz, Kos Shokil V'Rami, there the Kohen is taking the handful and placing it into the second service vessel. So why is Matan B'Kli considered an essential activity when we don't see a parallel between it and the animal offering? Elo Mishum, the kevon de lo sagile de lo avad lo, rather the matan kli is described as something that without which you couldn't have the mincha offered. It's an inexpendable action. Avoda chashuvahi, it therefore is categorized as an important stage in the process. Al korchuch mashvi lo kikabola. Therefore, out of default, we will treat it with the same standard that we treat Kabbalah. Not that we're saying matan bekli is the same as Kabbalah, but we are saying that we will treat it with the same legal gravity that we assign to Kabbalah. That's as far as matan nosing bekli that we saw in the source above. All of this is brought in for the purpose of showing how that which Rav Mori claimed, that basis for Rav Yirmiyah's halacha is found here. And here the Gemara makes the tie-in. Hachinami, so too here, in the case of Likut Levona, Kevon de lo Sagya law, de lo Ovad law, since It's inexpendable. You couldn't be without it. Therefore, avoda chashuvahi. Al korchuch mashvi lo ki holocha. And therefore, out of default, we are going to make it, we're going to view it like holocha. So that at this point, we've completed the Nekuda Aruka, the long point that we started out with. And what was that? Let's go over it. Rav Mori said that we can find a basis in Tanaic teachings for the teaching of Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah said that Likut Levoina is a function of Holocha. And how did we come to that conclusion? By paralleling the way we viewed matan bekli of the mincha as an essential act, and thereby paralleling matan bekli to something in the case of the animal offering, so too likut levona, by virtue of the fact that it's an essential stage, we will parallel it to hoylocha. So just to refine this last point, the explanation that we're giving to Likut Levona is based on the explanation we gave to Matan Bekli. And we explained Matan Bekli is not the same thing in a physical sense as Kabbalah Sadam, but since Matan Bekli is an essential act, we label it like Kabbalah. So too, the same thing with regard to Likut Levona. At this point, though, the Gemara rejects that approach. And this we've called rejection or dechia. You can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, you see a dalid indicating dechia with a vertical dashed line, not too long, but we are trying to illustrate that this entire long point is now going to be dismissed. The Gemara goes on to say, loy, le'oilom didomi lekabola. The matan kaimetz bekli, the placing of the handful of grain offering in a vessel, is mamish, is literally like Kabbalah. It's namely, it has the same characteristics as Kabbalah. Udekol kashiloch, but you'll say, well, we raised the question before that it's not the same. Hosam emeila hocha koshokev urami. In the case of the Kabbalah Saddam, it happens through gravity, and in the case of the meal offering, the Kohen is physically placing the handful into the second vessel. Michti, but upon closer look at this, Travaihu Kedushas Klihu. Both cases, the receipt of the blood in a Mizrak, in a surface vessel, and the placing of the Kometz in its second Kli, both actions impart a vessel sanctity to the contents. Mali Memelo Mali Shokiv Urami. What difference does it make how the substance gets into the Kedushas Kli, into the surface vessel that imparts sanctity to it? What difference does it make whether it happens Mamela through gravity or through the person placing it in? But at this point, we are essentially saying that Matan Bekli is Kabbalah in a direct sense. And I thereby don't use the theory or the principle of inexpendable act. As a result of that, we can't say with such assuredness, like Rav Mori wanted to say, that that Likut Levona is going to necessarily be classified as Holocha based on the grounds of it being an inexpendable action. The Mishnah. Before we go into the Mishnah, we've offered a comment under our No Say heading in the outside margin. Point Aleph, Shchitas Shnei Kivsei Atzeres, the slaughtering of the two Shvuas sheep, with the intention of Lechol Echod Min HaChalois L'Bochar. Together with the Kivsei Atzeres, two loaves are brought, called the Shtei Halechem. And here, he slaughters the two Kivsei Atzeres with the intention of eating one of the two loaves the next day, at the wrong time. A second example, Haktoras Shnei HaBozichin. We've discussed earlier in our Shiur, the Bozichin, the two Lavona receptacles that were part of the Lechem Haponim requirement. So here, the two bozichin are put on the mizbeach and burnt on the fire. Le'echol echad min hasedorim l'mocha, with the intention of eating one of the stacks of bread at the wrong time. Machloikus Rabbi Yosi v'chachomim imrak oisay shechoshav nispagel oishneim. We will see a machloikus in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yosi and the Chachomim. Do we say that only the item concerning which you had the thought to eat the next day, only that becomes pigul and the other one does not? Or do we say that both become pigul, even the one that you did not have your thought directed upon? The Mishnah. Case Aleph, Shochat Shnei Kivosim Lechol Achas Min HaChalos L'Mocher. He slaughtered the two Kivsei Atzeres with the intention of eating one of the two loaves the next day, meaning the wrong day. Or another case, Hiktir Shnei Bozichin, he offered the two Bozichei Levona of the Lechem Aponim, Lechol Echod Minas Dorim Lemocher, with the intention of eating one of the stacks the next day. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Oysa Chalavos Aseder Shechishav of Pigol, Vachalav of Kores, Vasheni Posilvein Bo Kores. Rabbi Yosi says, only either the loaf or the stack concerning which you had the machshava of lemochar, only that becomes pigul. The other one does not. The other one is posel, but no kores. V'chachomim oimrim, zeh v'zeh pigul v'chayovin olav kores. the Chachamim tell us that even the stack or the loaf that you did not have a direct chutz lezmano machshava, nevertheless, it becomes pigul, and there would be a chiyuv kares concerning that second loaf or stack as well. As we turn to the Gemara itself, we see a diamond around Rav Huna's name, and to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll notice a Roman numeral number 1 in a diamond, and an indication that number 2 will appear on Daf Yud Dalid Omid Beis, and there we will find Rav Yochanan's name in a diamond. Before we go further, let's glance in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading. We have an indication that it goes until Yud Dalet Amid Beis. We see a diamond featured. This highlights the names Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. In the case that will be featured, Pigel B'Yerech Yamin, Maush Yispagel Yerech Smol. If we're dealing with an animal sacrifice, if one has a Machsheves Pigel regarding the right leg, what effect does that have on the left leg? Omar Rav Huna, Omer Hoyo Rav Yossi, Pigel B'Yerech Shel Yamin, Loi Nispagel HaYerech Shel Smoil. And the ideas here of right and left are Lav Dafka. It doesn't mean specifically the way we're setting it up, but rather, we'll stick to the example of the Gemara, even though it has, it's we'll call Lav Dafka. Rabbi Yossi says, if one has a machsheves pigul concerning the right leg of the sacrifice, the left leg is not ruined, is not affected. My taima, why is it that the machsheva concerning one leg doesn't affect the other? Before going any further in the Gemara, let's point out now that Rabbi Yochanan on Yud Dalet Amud Beis, the top of Yud Dalet Amud Beis, he disagrees. He doesn't hold from Rav Huna's teaching, and he holds that if one had a machsheves pigul concerning the yamin, the right leg, the smol is also nispagel. In turning back to our Gemara on the after Rav Huna, the Gemara asks, "My taima, Rav, we want to know what's the explanation for this, for Rabbi Yossi, according to Rav Huna, holding that if you had a machsheves pigul concerning the right leg, the left leg of the animal is not affected." My taima, e boyes emo svora, ve boyes emo kro. If you like, I can say a svora, a point of logic, and if you like, I can offer a posuk. Now the Gemara goes over these two points, and we've highlighted them with squiggle underlines and lettering as well. So, Aleph, if you like, I can provide a piece of logic to explain this opinion. Lo adifa machshava mimaise hatuma. Machshava cannot be any stronger than rules regarding tuma. Ilu itmi chad ever. If one limb became tame, and let's talk about a case where the animal has been dismembered. So that if one limb becomes tame, be it me le kula, does the tuma affect the whole animal? No, it does not. Likewise, the machshava that one has concerning the right leg doesn't affect the left leg. The boy is a mokra, and if you prefer, I can give you a posuk. And the Gemara infers, Mimenu veloi mechavero, that pigul will set in only if he eats from the item concerning which he had the wrong thought, but not concerning the other limb, the other item. The Gemara here starts a question, a long question. It goes till the very top of Yud Dalet Omid Aleph. Eisvei Rav Nachman Rav Huna. We can point out also we have a long question marking that accompanies this piece of Gemara to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. we should point out that we also have a triangle that appears here, and it appears with its point facing up. This is the beginning of a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth nature of this piece of Gemara. And this piece of Gemara will last, and as you will see, triangles represented for quite a way in the Gemara, quite a distance. As we will be using these triangles for Daf Yud Dalid as well. So the triangle facing up represents a question, and when the triangle appears with the point facing down, that's an answer. Eisvei Rav Nachman l'Ravuna. Rav Nachman raises a question. The source says Le'olam ein boi kores ad shi'fagil b'shtehen b'kezayis. There is no kores concerning the other loaf until he thinks about both loaves together, namely to eat a kezayis from both loaves, one kezayis from the two loaves, the next day. Let us say that one is slaughtering the kivsei aseres, and he has in mind to eat from one of the loaves, a kezayis. So let's see the Gemara. B'shtehen in. If one has in mind to eat a kezayis from both of the loaves, then there will be pigul. His mind is unifying or joining it together. Be'achas mehen loy, which means if he has a pigul machshava concerning one of the loaves, the other loaf does not become pigul, is not affected. Mile money, who is the author of this nameless source? I lemo rabbonon, if one were to assign this to the rabbonon, it would not be accurate, because afilu ba'achas mehen nami. Even if one had his pigul mindset concerning one of the two loaves, the other would be affected. We know the chachamim to hold, like they said in the Mishnah, ze v'ze pigul. Elopshita rabbiosi. Rather, this insistence on having the machshava concerning both of the loaves would conform to Rav Yossi. I amris bishlamo chad gufahu. If you say regarding the legs, the animal that Rav Huna featured, that they are considered one body. And if he had a machshava concerning one leg, the other leg would be affected as well. Mishum hachi mitztaref. I could then understand how my mind could in effect join together, my machshava, my mindset could join together the two loaves. Elo I amris tre gufi ninhu. If, however, you're going to say like Rav Huna holds that the two legs are viewed as if they're coming from two separate bodies, mi mitstarfi, how could through my machshava, in the case of the two loaves, how could it possibly have the power of joining two loaves into one entity? In order to appreciate this logic more, let us learn the Rashi together, the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. I amris bishlamo gabi yerechos. If you say by the case of the legs of the animal, the case that Rav Huna addressed, demishum demizevach echod asu, chad gufoninu. Since they come from one sacrifice, they're viewed as one body. The epigel bazu nispaglo zu. And having a machshavas pigel on one leg, the other leg automatically gets affected as well and becomes pigel. Mishum hachi, if you were to take that approach, which is not the Rav Huna approach, then I can understand mishum hachi mitstarfois chalois chatzi zayas mizu v'chatzi zayas mizu ki arvinu. In the case of the two loaves, where he thought about eating a half a zayas of one and a half a zayas of the other, when he thought about the two loaves together, the chishev almanas lechol kezayas lemochor bein shtehem, he was thinking about eating a full kezayas from between the two of them. De mahani luhu ma shiirvu ze boze b'machshavoso. I can, with all of this, I can understand how his mindset concerning the two loaves, in effect, joins them together. Ki'ilu bo shtehen miguf echad, as if the two loaves come from one single entity. Damir lekamon, the irev machshavosoi mahani letzarfon. That the joining together of the disparate elements helps in joining them. With regard to the two loaves, where a person had machshava concerning one, the other does not get affected. Mishum the lo mechad gufo osu, because they don't come from one body. Uva machshava tsunami lo irvon, and in his mind he also did not join them together. Let's go over this last point. In a case where a person, let us say, slaughtered the kibsei atzeres with the intention of eating a kezayas from one of the loaves, the other loaf would not be affected because he didn't intend to join the two loaves together with any mindset. That's as opposed to the case of eating one kezayas from amongst two loaves. But this whole idea that machshava can join together disparate elements will be effective and work only if, in the case of the legs, we can say with assuredness that the legs, the right leg and the left leg, are viewed as if they are one, coming from one body. They in fact do come from one body. But the way Rav Huna was looking at things was suggesting something else. However, if you say, like Rav Huna, by the legs, that even though they come from one body, they're still viewed as two separate entities, how could it then be suggested that which physically came from one body, which according to Rav Huna are considered two separate entities, how can through the power of thought, how could I possibly join together something that starts off as two separate entities? So with that, we have a question on Rav Huna's approach. Notice the triangle repositions itself with the point facing down. This represents a response. Ha money, the case of the thought concerning one kezayas from between the two loaves, is Rebbe he. That's Shita's Rebbe, and Rebbe Yossi is not talking, he doesn't address the issue whatsoever, and since Rebbe Yossi doesn't talk about it, we don't have a kasha on Rav Huna. Rav Huna, who was coming to explain Shita's Rebbe Yossi, remains intact. The source from which you asked on Rav Huna is not a Rebbe Yossi source, it's Rebbe. Desanyo, ha'ashoychid es hakeves lechol chatzi zayas mechala zu, v'chein chaveroi lechol chatzi zayas mechala zu. We're talking about the slaughtering of the kivsei atzeres. What is described over here? He slaughters one sheep with the intention of eating a half zayas from one loaf, and the second we should point out the eating the chatzitzas at the wrong time the next day, and he slaughters the second sheep with the intention of eating a lecho chatzitzas mechalazu. Rebbe Omer, regarding this, Rebbe says, Omer ani shezeh kosher. This does not become pigul because his mind was working as follows. He was thinking about a half achila, namely chatzitzas, while doing half a matir, one of the two sheep. But now we infer, taimo di omar chatzi chatzi. The reason that this remains non-pigul is because his intention was stated in halves. Avol omar kezayas mishtehen. Had he, however, said that he intends that he slaughters one sheep with the intention of eating a full kezayas from amongst the two loaves, and likewise when he shechted the second sheep, he thought about the same kezayas from amongst the two loaves, mitstarif, that would join together and become pigul. So we see that Rebbe is of the opinion that there's a concept of joining together the breads through machshava. As far as the Gemara is concerned, the sugya continues. We are right now in the middle of a sugya, but by the virtue of the nature of our shiurim being daf yomi shiurim, this will be a pausing point with which we conclude our shiur for today.